bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Welcome back to the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Appreciate you joining us here on a hump day edition. Clint Scott, Chris Sneed, Ben Poorman. It is a Wednesday. It's 12:15. So for second time in its young segment history, Captain Sneederoo, we're going to do the Bottom Line Big Five. This week's edition, we're going to give you our picks for the final year of the Power Five, Power Five conference champions. And for a little bonus, we'll even say, we'll be precise, we'll say who they beat or who they will beat as well. So where do you want to start?
Let's go alphabetical.
Okay.
ACC.
All right. Who is your ACC pick?
It's not really chalk, but I'm going to go Clemson. And I'm going to say Clemson over Florida State.
Yeah. Those are the two heavies in there. There's a lot of expectation of Florida State this year.
A lot of hype.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can get on board with that.
I'm not there yet for them. I'm not as confident with this. I have Clemson winning as well.
Here's the deal. I was on the field with them in their last game when they, the final score doesn't say it, but they manhandled OU. But the final score doesn't say it, but I think that team is legit.
Now, I do think that both of those teams will benefit from the ACC, because any year you go, well, okay, here's your dark horse pick is Duke, who was a lot better than what they had been last year. I mean, there's just no hiding that that is top to bottom. I think the weakest of the five. When you get to the bottom end, I think that I think it's pretty weak down there.
Have you seen the bottom of the Pac-12?
Yeah, but the top is better to me.
I think that, yeah, the ceiling is higher at the top of the Pac-12 than the ACC.
And there's more at the bottom of the ACC. Like, to the Pac-12, if you go the very bottom, if you go like the Cal and the Stanford and the Colorado – okay, yeah, that's not great at all.
Well, then Syracuse and Boston College and
Georgia Tech, Miami's not good. I think the average out, I think it's the weakest of them. But I have Clemson actually beating North Carolina this year.
You know, North Carolina is probably the next one on the list for me. And I think there's a chance for them to be pretty good.
And it's almost me going with Florida State. I'll believe it when I see it. With that, and yeah, I don't think North Carolina is going to be just anything.
I think they're feeling a lot like Tech is right now. Got a big win over a nice name opponent in a bowl game that wasn't the New Year's Six game, and you're kind of feeling yourself going into this next year. I think there's a lot of feeling good.
What's interesting with those two as well is, one, North Carolina and Florida State don't play this year, but they both go to Clemson. I think North Carolina and Clemson's early.
I think
that's not a week.
No, North Carolina's playing South Carolina this week.
That's right.
But it might be in the first three. Yeah. It's only something we can use to look that up. But maybe a schedule finder right here.
But you don't really, if you're going between those two of who has like the quote unquote easier schedule with that angle, I don't think that exists, because I think they're on the same playing field.
No,
actual playing field of playing each other, because
Clemson in November.
Okay, never mind. Yeah. Oh, is it Clemson and Duke? That's what it. Never mind. Forget what I said early. Okay, let's go to the Big Ten, shall we?
I had to change my pick here because
final year of divisions.
Final year of divisions, and I was
East West.
You
whatever.
Know if. If they were not in divisions, I was going to have Michigan against Penn State.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there are divisions.
But there are divisions. And since there was that, I'm going to have Michigan against Nebraska.
Oh, Matt Rhule.
Yeah. I think Nebraska is now, do they have a lot of proven players on their roster right now? No. Mm-hmm. But the what they do have is an absolute garbage can of a division. And I think they'll emerge out of that cream of the crap that's in that division. And
that's sold at Clint's t-shirt stand as well, yeah, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, Michigan's going to end up find itself back in the playoff again because they're going to win their championship game by 30.
Yeah, I have Michigan winning it as well. I have them beating Bielema ball. I think Illinois, because I agree with you. I'm just Luke Fickell in Wisconsin.
No, not yet.
They're doing a major change offensively. Mm-hmm. I know they bring in Tanner Mordecai as a quarterback, hoping that he can do it. I have no idea what to think about Iowa. I don't think they're going to be any good. They're coming off a strange offseason.
Well, and you can't score.
Yeah,
and
you can't score.
They still can't score. They haven't done anything to change. I mean, he could have done one thing to make think that different and got rid of his son, and he didn't do that. So
the betting scandal did not rock them as much as it did Iowa State football player wise, but still, it's just a weird. And I think Illinois played really well last year for the old Jayhawks. I really hate that Illinois matchup.
Yeah, PJ Fleck at Minnesota. Yeah. I mean, that there's, you know, for as much hype as he came in and much flash, he's starting to swirl the drain a little bit there at Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Let's save Big 12 for last. So let's jump to the Pac-12.
Probably the sexy choice right here would be USC.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, against who? I think Utah's probably the front runner, but it's Utah, Oregon, or Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're all kind of a toss-up at this point.
How much do you give in with Oregon State, just out of curiosity, with that group?
I don't know. I mean, I think Oregon State is – I just don't buy into, you know, what they – I mean, they don't play a – I mean, okay, I want before I speak out of school. Yeah, they're playing Montana State hang on, let me get there. Where are we at here? Montana State, San Jose State, UC Davis, San Diego State, and non-con.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, I mean, they're gonna be 5-0 when they roll into Utah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Utah rolls into their place, and then they get Cal. I mean, I think they're gonna be a victim of a very not a victim, a beneficiary of a very, 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 very weak schedule. And so,
at least on the front end, yeah.
On the front end, but you know, that's where they're going to find they start themselves ranked. And so by the time that they play Utah, that's going to be probably a top 10 matchup.
I mean,
with a chance, with game day, you know, in town, Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit hyping up this god awful matchup.
Speaking of, you know, Ungalale, he's there. And it. I don't think you're facing all of that, like it's not like okay, well suddenly he's going to the Pac-12 where the defense is bad because he's been in the ACC
where
a lot of those defenses were bad, and so I think you take a step back because I just don't know what you're going to have with him at quarterback this year. Clemson had been waiting for him around a loaded roster to take steps for 2 years,
and
it just never did.
That did not happen,
and so I don't know if he's enough to. It's certainly not a step forward. But I just think it's an interesting team where they could play upset to somebody.
Yeah.
But I was just curious with that group. But sorry, I didn't mean to.
I look at this as, you know, I think Utah slightly in front of Oregon, who is slightly in front of Washington. So I've got USC this year. I mean, Caleb Williams is not going to let Utah beat him twice. Actually, he can't their third time. So I think USC gets that, and they become the Pac-12 champion over Utah.
I have USC as well. I actually have them beating Washington. Mm. I think the Washington offense is legit.
Mm-hmm.
I have Washington just over Utah, who's just over Oregon. But I think that's going to be close.
Those three are very close together.
I think it could be one of those, like, in the last kind of 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
It's like, boy, it could be this team, or this team in this matchup. And I also think, and we'll get to it on the other side for the Big 12. We'll also get you the SEC as well. But I also think that's going to be a similar storyline from the Big 12.
Yep.
And part of that, of course, is not having divisions, and this is where you're going to have drama. And, like, speaking of the Big Ten, when they go to that format next year, and it is a – and then you add in Oregon and Washington and USC and UCLA, whether you like, you know, conference realignment or not, or big conferences or not, that's going to be – much like the Big 12 will be, that's going to be a super fun race to watch.
Well, the question will be – how often will the Big Ten be okay with having Ohio State and Michigan play consecutive weeks? Yeah. That's what's going to happen a lot.
We got two more conferences boxes to check off. We'll do that when we come back. It's Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It is the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com. The Big Five Wednesday for the Bottom Line. We've got three conferences finished. We'll keep going. We'll get the Big 12 last as we're picking conference champions this year.
We did the ACC. We did the Big Ten. We did the Pac-12.
Yes, and it's time to, from the bullpen.
Yeah, you're going to have to go to the bullpen.
We have to bring in, are you right-handed or left-handed? Right-handed? We have to bring in the righty.
Are you a crafty right-hander?
No one ever says it.
No one ever says it.
The crafty right-hander. It just feels weird. Ben Poorman will make the SEC pick, as I will share mine as well. Ben, would you like to go first?
Sure. Let's do it. So we got a kind of a weird but yet somewhat interesting situation in the SEC right now. We got new quarterbacks coming in at Florida, Bama, Georgia, Ole Miss, Kentucky, and we also got Joe Milton returning to Tennessee after a Orange Bowl victory, and Jaden Daniels, the Arizona State transfer, coming to LSU, returning once again to LSU. So for my pick, I would have Tennessee and LSU this year in the championship with Joe Milton taking the win in the SEC.
Wow. All right. So you said Tennessee over LSU. I'm writing all these down to see our accuracy at the end. I am going Georgia. Carson Beck, I think, is going to be just fine. And also, when I say just fine, it's because they're loaded still everywhere else. I think Georgia is going to not out-talent everyone in the SEC by any means. But I think that's your national championship. I think the three-peat gets done. It's interesting that you went LSU there, because I was going back and forth between LSU and Alabama this year. But I'm going to say LSU, the defining game for Alabama to get there. At Alabama, winner of that one will eventually take this spot, and Alabama gets it done at home. Not quite a revenge tour, but Alabama is in the SEC championship game and then loses to Georgia. So I probably went on mine a little chalk there, but is what it is. So I have Georgia over Bama. Let's go to the Big 12, shall we? Most important for last.
Are you talking to me?
Talking to you.
Okay. I am conflicted here. My question is, there's a clear most talented team in this league. Clearly most talented team in this league. Mm-hmm. But there's a clearly the most underachieving team in this league also. And they are the same team.
Yep.
And my question is, do I believe that Texas is going to be able to get themselves to the championship game this year? And so what I have to do is, by process of elimination, who has the ability to say something about that? And, you know, you look on their schedule. And so I look on their schedule. Can Baylor do something about that? I think the answer is yes. Can Kansas do something about that? Well, they did last year. Or the 2 years ago. Well, they didn't last year.
Last year.
2 years ago, they did. Can OU do something about that? I think the answer is yes. Can Houston? No. BYU? No. Kansas State? Yes. Mm-hmm. TCU? I don't think so this year. Iowa State? No. Texas Tech? Yes. So with that being the case, I don't think Texas is going to get there.
Okay.
Who do I think is going to get there? I think the team to beat in this league again is Kansas State. And the question is, who will be there with them?
You going to do it? You going to do it? I want to.
I just don't.
The thing this year, and for some reason, if you're wondering where Dan's around, it's not a dumb pick to take Texas Tech this year, right? It's not a homer pick.
It's not a homer pick. Do I think Texas Tech can do it?
Yeah.
Yes. Do I think that they will do it? Yes! Yeah. Put the Red Raiders in there. Put the Red Raiders in there against Kansas State.
Who wins?
Kansas State.
You still take it, though. I mean, still. It would hurt to get there and then lose that game.
Yes, it would.
But you still take that season for sure.
Well, here's where I'm going to go with this. Mm-hmm. Texas Tech and Kansas State are going to play on October 14th in Lubbock, Texas. I think the winner of that game will not win the second matchup. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Okay. The old swap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess that I'm the lame one here. I have Kansas State winning the conference again. I do have Texas getting there and getting beat in the conference championship game. I think that for the mixture of Texas Tech and Oklahoma, we'll see for me. I don't think it will, but there's a mixture between Texas and Tech playing in the final week, mm-hmm. right? That's going to have a lot to say.
Yep.
Even though maybe not so much for TCU, but Oklahoma, you want to talk about schedules that is a gift?
Pillow soft.
Oklahoma versus TCU could have something to say about that with the result, more from the Oklahoma side. And then if you're looking at Kansas State, they play Iowa State, so that should be a win. But I think what I was talking about with the Pac-12 is exactly what I think about the Big 12 this year, is that there's going to be, coming into the final 2 weeks, last week, could be a combination of four or five different teams, and you're just waiting to see who wins those matchups, which will be really fun. I do have Texas making it, though, and then losing to Kansas State in the Big 12 championship game. Let us know what your Power 5 picks are. You can play along with the Bottom Line Big 5. Let's jump into a play of the day, shall we?
Splitting those two and making the big play.
Second down and 18 on the draw. Houston got some of it back, took a big hit, flag down at the very end of the play, and an injured player for Texas Tech.
Offense number 52, 10-yard penalty, repeat second down.
Number 54, Bryce Ramirez, is down for Texas Tech.
We are now 3 days away from Texas Tech football as Bryce Ramirez makes his return from that gruesome injury. We are glad he's back, and I believe he will be stronger than ever as he leads this Red Raider defense to another 8-win season.
Good.
It's a great story. I mean, obviously, you don't ever want a player to have that back. Story. Coach DeRuiter was talking about him. You can tell how much that means to him and seeing that young man work his way back after something like that. So, yeah, and it'll be fun to see, and just good to see him on the field again. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Sneed, didn't you smoke your finger for bowling?
It's just it. No, it's okay. Just it was sore. It's good now.
This from Bullfighter. What's more dry, Lincoln Riley's brisket or Kleene's jokes? Bobby Hot Dogs asked if we were going to serve up a fat L to Choice for his birthday tonight. We don't have anything on the docket tonight. That's too bad.
That is too bad, but I'm sure he's got some
birthday plans.
Birthday, yeah.
Shenanigans.
He should. He said he wasn't available tonight, and that's why.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to wash uniforms and pack.
I was going to say Wednesday, and like for him too, he's celebrating birthday stuff and getting ready to head off to Wyoming as well. So, yeah. This on the H Flooring Center chat line. Not to worry, Sneed. I've smoked enough this year for the both of us.
That's good. What are you smoking?
I've said this once. I will say it again. People that are all the way in, and like when I mean all the way in, like have got it down to a science and are, you know, every single weekend they're smoking something.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the best friends to have.
Those are the best friends to have. I got a friend, Stan, that he lives to, he smokes stuff on the weekend, man. And people buy meat, take it over to him, he smokes it for him. Great.
Kaylee's dead, so when we come back, it's bottom line 100.7 The Score.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It is the Bottom Line 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Clint Scott, Chris Sneed, Ben Poorman behind the glass taking care of us. Let's jump into a Wednesday edition of Kaylee's Dailies.
Clint.
Yes, sir.
Ben. So. Kaylee says, I feel like my dad told me this at one point. I am lion, hear me roar. It was actually Helen Reddy that said that, honey. And she said, I am woman, hear me roar. At the University of North Alabama, they do just that with their two lions, Leo III and Una. Since 1974, Una has homed and raised lion cubs hailing from wildlife sanctuaries. This tradition began after the university president brought Leo I, a lion cub born at a wildlife refuge in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Hmm.
Leo I was homed at nearly 13,000 square foot habitat built on the North Alabama campus for students and faculty to enjoy. They currently... The lion residents are Leo III and Una, who are brother and sister lions that were born in a wildlife sanctuary in.
I got nothing. I don't even have a guess.
New Hampshire.
Oh, see, I would have. That was my second guess. Behind my not having a guess was New Hampshire.
I just wanted to see if you have a get it close. They were born in 2002. Leo and Una are credited. They are cared for 7 days a week by a wonderful group of volunteers and are seen by veterinarians provided by the school. How about that? Yeah, they're living a better life than you and me.
Yeah.
The lion and lioness siblings' favorite food is hamburger meat and...
chicken.
Bones. Leo III and Una were voted best live animal mascot in 2002, competing against the likes of Baylor and LSU. How about that?
Wow. 2002?
2012.
Okay. I was going to say, those are some aged lions.
Yeah, 2012. There.
Hmm.
Yeah, so.
What's the average lifespan of a lion in captivity?
I don't
know. If only there was someone we could...
Let's find out. Hey, Siri.
Because from like 2012, that still seems...
of a lion in captivity? Lions in the wild rarely live more than 8 to 10 years. Lions in the zoo have a lifespan of?
25 years.
Exactly 25
yes!
years.
Okay, so that's in that range. I was going to say 2012 just still seemed like that was a while ago.
Yeah.
I was going off of like my dog age average.
Yeah, so I mean, you know.
Do they still have that vote? Because they totally should.
Dog age?
No, sorry. The live mascot
vote? I don't know. I mean,
it's not exactly reigning champs in
2012. You know, these people talking about animals being kept in captivity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they got mad at Joe Exotic. You know, all those animals out there would have died in 8 to 10 years. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not I'm not even going down that road with you people. I can see the someone. Oh my God! I can't believe he's talking about that guy. That guy was an animal cruelty person. Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God!
Someone get Sarah McLachlan on the phone in the arms of an angel.
In the arms of the angel. That's all we need is from Sarah McLachlan right now.
You can hit us up on the 8th Morning Center chat line. There you go, the lion.
Los Leones. Los Leones.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. I was not impressed with USC the other night. I know they won pretty handily, but they spent a lot of the game struggling to get their motor running.
Yeah, I think that had a lot to do with the fact that that game was a week earlier than everybody else, giving them just a little bit less time. I mean, are they going to be good in the next game? Probably. And, you know, it's hard to get a gauge off of that week one game, especially when you're ready to fire up and you go out there and the next thing you know, you're playing against somebody that's not even as good as your third string.
Well, I will say this. I think if you're looking for true concerns, because this was something I think coming into it, I don't think anyone's worried about the offense.
Mm-mm. Their defense looked porous at times.
Yes, and that was the problem last year. It's going to be almost and you can remember this from Lincoln Riley's time when he took over at Oklahoma. To a certain extent, almost Oklahoma 2.0. What does Alex Grinch have over Lincoln Riley? Why is he still the paired defensive coordinator? I don't get it. I don't get it. Because I do think that you could see the defense has not gotten any better from last year.
And
but the offense is legit.
Sometimes you have those guys who coaches feel comfortable with, and they're just the buddy factor is real. Mm-hmm. And I mean the brother-in-law deals, those things happen. We get this from Kaylee. She says anything that lives in captivity, you can add 10 years.
Oh.
So there's that.
So if it's
and she should know, she houses a whole bunch of things in captivity.
Thank you. Double Kaylee's Dailies. All right. Awesome. Double package.
We're going to get she will be in town for the Oregon game.
Yeah.
And so Monday the 10th, September 10th, a live in-studio Kaylee's Daily that day. Yeah.
That's right. Second time.
Ben is fired up over there.
Second time.
Second
only.
Time. Second timer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Live in studio, Kaylee's Daily.
And I hope she brings in an actual duck.
Oh, boy. don't tempt her.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. It ain't up to Caleb Williams. It's up to the Trojan farce defense against Utah. This again, he's the game that Lincoln Riley is playing is we have a legit offense. How legit is it? Because you're going to have to outscore a few people because the defense, I just think, is paper.
Yeah.
Absolute paper. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Who's the script say is going to win the SEC, Chris? The script. I love the NFL script commercials. Have you seen those? Oh, it's the second year of it. Because it's the joke that everything is scripted. Yeah. And so like they're actually writing it as a script. Yeah. I think that's funny.
That doesn't help the narrative that I hate that narrative.
This chalkety chalk for the Jayhawk. Yeah, I went pretty chalk.
Yeah.
I did. Clint, I hope you trip on a crack in the sidewalk on the way to your car this evening and bump your head.
That is not nice.
And hopefully put some sense into you. Don't ever pick that off orange colored school. I know that they have. Again, I didn't pick them to win it. I just picked them to have a seat there in Arlington. At least I didn't pick them to win it. I don't think that they have the clutch gene in their biggest games. I don't think that's going to be there. And I know that they've been talented before. It just feels like this year there's a lot there. I don't believe in Quinn Ewers, though. Let me say that. And I have said that he will not finish the year or he will not start every single game for the Longhorns. I just think everywhere else.
But he cut off his hair.
He's serious now.
He shaved.
He's wearing a tie underneath his uniform. He's serious. It's all business. He's got a blazer under there. But I get it. And if I need to trip on a crack, I'll try it. I'll do it.
If he wins the the Heisman Trophy, would you shave your beard?
If he wins the Heisman Trophy?
Yeah.
That seems like a... What do I win? That's the better part, because that seems like a super safe bet that he's not going to win the Heisman. Like, an incredibly safe bet for me that he is not going to win the Heisman.
If he doesn't win the Heisman?
Yeah, what do I win if he when he doesn't?
I'll buy you lunch.
Really?
Yeah, I'll buy you lunch.
And I just have to shave my beard if he does?
If he wins the Heisman, you shave your beard.
Yes, you're in. You're on. Right here.
It's on.
Free lunch. It's a long way to remember for a free lunch.
I mean, I'm just going to take you to lunch because he's not. No, but if he does.
But if he does.
That beard's coming off.
I'm going to be
and
so
I'm
mad.
Doing it.
You're, whoa.
Oh, yeah. You didn't. Hey,
no, you didn't. No.
You shook.
Let's get ready to handshake.
Handshake was. Offered and received. I am shaving that off.
There's no fine print on a handshake.
That you just watched. You didn't look on the other side.
That's all this ink smudged on my hand over here, Sneed. That'll do it for hour number one.
Got one more with you this week.
Yeah, you got
and
one
I'm off the parts unknown.
Tomorrow we will get Sneed's official season prediction for Texas Tech. Down, pin it, post it. Put it on the palm, smudge it on more handshakes. We'll do that tomorrow.
Got it.
Sneed, we'll see you then.
See you, bro.
It's Bottom Line 100.7 Score.
Bringing you the truth or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It is the Bottom Line 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Clint Scott, Jeff McGuire, Ben Foreman behind the glass taking care of us. So we'll take you all the way up to 240 today for Astros baseball. We have given away some Big 12 teams' seasons. We're not doing all of them, but giving away 10 in total because obviously we've seen the future and we're back. We have told you that Oklahoma and Kansas State will both go 10-2. Oklahoma State will go 8-4. Kansas, TCU, and Baylor will all go 6-6. And yesterday, Jamie really wanted to unveil Iowa State, so we did, 2-10. That was my face. I think he still has a little bit of animosity towards Iowa State because they were such a problem for such a long time, until the past couple of years, of course, that I think he was really looking forward to picking providing the answers to a very terrible, probably terrible season for Iowa State. Today,
I can see how that would be fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. My face was the same, though, still at first when he
you
said it.
You want to do Iowa State? Like, on purpose?
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
A newcomer. UCF making their Big 12 debut this year, Jeff. The Fighting Gus Malzahns.
Uh-huh.
Their lead quarterback, John Reese Plumlee, who threw for just over 2,500 yards and was also their leading rusher, 25 total touchdowns. And they, you can go into, they return some production with receiving core, a pretty good breakout running back. They have a former five-star there that's transferred in. They feel really good about their defensive line, it seems like. Have some production at linebacker that comes back. You can go into all those things we've done for all of these teams, but this is a slightly different discussion, right? Because it's, okay, well, flat-out baseline, can you play stepping up into the Big 12?
Correct.
Or will there? What's the learning curve for that? Now, I think the biggest plus is that you have Gus Malzahn, who's been in a major, major conference before. And I know Dana Holgorsen, you can have this with Houston, but you've seen more success with Gus Malzahn and UCF. And I think that they're currently, right now, roster-wise, the most ready of the new four to compete to whatever level you think that is. Agree? Disagree?
I don't know. Because I really do think year one of BYU is going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think year one of UCF is going to be okay. I don't think year one of Cincinnati is going to be okay. I don't think year one of Houston is going to be okay. Mm-hmm. I think those three teams are going to be fighting for the bottom half of the league.
Oh, wow.
But I do think UCF is the team of the incoming four that has the greatest potential for a jump in
so
3 years.
Long term, but not short term.
Yeah, not short term, because they're going to be having to up their game is what where my head's at with them. But influx of money, better ability to recruit the area that they live in, which, oh, by the way, is Florida, and there's there are a lot of great talent around there.
And they're like, already, we talked about this with Jamie, they're already winning some battles between Florida State and Florida and Miami. Like, it's, this is where, and so we'll, let's jump right in, into the games and say how this is going to go. This is just, I think this team won't be defined by the talent that it has for, like, the starters, because I think they've got some dudes that can play.
Yeah,
It's the length of a Big 12 season and the depth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's where they could run into trouble in year one. But let's get right into it. Now, always group these together for their non-conference. They'll go to – or they'll have Kent State week one. They'll be at Boise State, and then they'll be at home against Villanova, although I don't think that's just a super great Boise State team. But tricky on the road. Are there any losses for any of you guys there?
I don't think so. I think that's three wins.
Me neither.
All right, so 3-0.
Is that where you're at, too?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. I think all wins there, and then
we sweep out the sweep.
They'll start the Big 12 season. Their first in conference game is at Kansas State, and I think this one is super interesting in Manhattan. Jeff, is this a win or a loss?
Big flat, big fat loss.
Big fat loss.
Big fat loss. Big fat loss.
Huge L for me.
I think this is a loss, but I think this is closer than where you guys are going. I think this is one where Kansas State and UCF both have a pretty low-scoring first half, and then eventually Kansas State pulls away, but I have this as a win as well. Then they're at home against Baylor. Ben, win or a loss for the Knights?
I'm going to give them a win.
Jeff, is this a win or a loss?
Loss.
I have this as a win as well.
Okay.
I also think this team will play better in the first half of the season than what they do with the back half.
Agree.
Then they are at Kansas. Jeff, is this a win in Lawrence?
That's
or
a
loss?
Win.
Loss for me.
I have this as a Knights win, too. I do. I do. I think UCF. Again, this is where.
I also think that could that game could be like 80-79
I think
in that game.
That is. I completely agree. I think that's going to be potential for when we go, okay, what was one of the more fun shootouts you saw? I think that's one. Okay, then
that game's going to take away the title of the game the defense forgot from Tech and Oklahoma. That's that game right there.
Then they're at Oklahoma. How does this go in Norman? Ben, you're up first.
I have this as another loss.
Isn't it your turn to go second?
No, but yeah, I have this as a loss.
So do I. Sweep it up.
Yeah. But pretty good start to the season for him so far. Then they're at home against West Virginia.
When?
Dub.
You know who they got next? So this is where, when I was asking you the and just how their season's going to go, this is where it gets interesting, because now they've already racked up a lot of wins.
Sure.
And I don't think what we have is crazy. Then they have West Virginia late. Then they're at Cincinnati. I think this is a win, because I think Cincinnati and West Virginia, the two teams that they play back-to-back, are fighting for worst team in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe with Iowa State in there as well for me.
Cincinnati. I'm going to go loss. But I could see it being under 3 points in this one.
So Ben's our tiebreaker here, holding up the dub.
Back-to-back wins for the Knights, even though Cincinnati will be close.
And then they are at home against Oklahoma State.
Loss.
L.
Have that as a loss. Right now, just three losses, but here you go. At Texas Tech.
Loss.
L.
Have this as a loss as well. And then they'll end the season at home against Houston.
I so badly want to say win, but I'm also so jaded of U of H that I have to acknowledge that there's some bias here. I'm going to say Houston wins this game, but I'm so cheered for UCF in this game. It's not even funny.
All right, Ben, you're going to be a tiebreaker again, because I have this as a win at home against Houston.
Me too. It's a dub.
There you go. That was good, though. We've been too flush
well
over some of the teams, so this is good. We've all been a little bit different on this one. But there you go. The rounded out schedule. UCF.
Going bowling?
8-4. Not just going bowling, but any of the new teams would take an 8-win season to start their Big 12 tenure off. Any of those four.
Oh, eight? There's a bunch of teams in the Big 12 that would take 8
yeah,
wins.
Yeah, and that's why, especially year one for any of them, that is...
You know what you need to do later, right? Once you go through like half the league, you need to see how many different schedules you've already figured out. Mm-hmm. Because you've got game-by-game predictions.
Yeah.
So figure out how many of those games you've already got settled and then see who you... And rack them up that way.
What I like to do is I like to keep track. And part of it is we've had different projectors that come in.
Sure.
And so that's where it's not all going to be like the same answer every time. But on the one where like Josh has been in twice or Jamie, I like to see if they remember who they picked.
Mm-hmm.
And just to see if they stay the same. So far they has. So far they have. There you go. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Does Choice feel gross around Ben? He's a poor man. Dad joke in there. Double-sided. It's all done. It's really done.
I applaud the chat line for that one. Yeah.
There you go. Hey, Jabber and Jeff, we asked for one, not a ranking of all of them.
Okay. Wouldn't I be both Jabber and Jeff? Since I'm the one that jabbered?
Yeah, either way, I'll take it.
I'm just, you know, questions I have. Jab, jab.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
We'll change pace just a little bit and go to the NFL, if that's all right with you two gentlemen. Clint Scott, Jeff McGuire, Ben Foreman. It is the Bottom Line, 100.7 The Score. And 107thescore.com. Appreciate you joining us. You can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Short show by 20 minutes today, 2:40. It's the Astros will give way to them at that time. I want to look at the south end of the NFL, and not actual directions, but the worst teams in the NFL this year, who we expect to be. See what you guys think, okay? I think the Arizona Cardinals will be the worst team in the NFL. Kyler Murray will be coming back at some point. He's going to start off on the PUP list, so we know at least first four games out. And even then, he did not play well last season before tearing his ACL. Of course, that was Cliff's spot last year. And I think mutually a good decision that was a separation. At the start of the season, just from a quarterback standpoint, it's either going to be rookie Clayton Toon or Josh Dobbs, who they just acquired last week. And they've also traded away some of their, either traded or cut some of their better pieces, like a linebacker, Isaiah Simmons, or Josh Jones tackle. Like Matt Prater is probably the most recognizable name on that roster, other than maybe Buda Baker. You also have a first-year head coach now. And then also first-year GM as well in that mix, Jonathan Gannon, first-year head coach. I think partially I also think this is by design, by the way. Like I think that they are buying into the quote-unquote Caleb Williams sweepstakes that are coming in this year's draft. But altogether, I think the Arizona Cardinals are going to be the worst team in the NFL and maybe just edge out like a Houston Texans sort of feel for that. Maybe Colts in there as well for the title of the worst team in the NFL.
Man, I'd love to tell you you're wrong. I'm trying to figure out who's going to have a worse season in their leagues mm-hmm. right now between the Arizona Cardinals and the Oakland A's. Like, ooh. I don't, like, comparatively speak. I don't know which one of those teams is going to have a lower winning percentage. I think it's Arizona. But I don't know. I have no clue.
Mm-hmm.
I do agree with you that I do think it's by design.
Yeah, I think that this they know what they're doing. And if you're first-year head coach, first-year GM, maybe it's different in some situations, but I think that they are in the notion that they know that they have time and they have the backing to do this. Like, they're not worried about their jobs when year one is terrible. Now, year three, if it stays terrible...
Different story.
Different story.
The big question I've got... I mean, Kyler Murray's on the IL. He can't come back until week eight. I'm sorry, week four.
Mm-hmm. At least.
At least, at the earliest.
That's
right.
Not a for sure.
What does this mean for him?
Oh, dude, he's looking...
He should be looking going, oh, wow, I've got to win with these guys or they're going to get rid of me. Yeah. Newsflash, buddy. You've been bad for a couple of years mm-hmm. and have not shown signs of improvement in a couple of years.
And you haven't even gone like, well, you know, although the on-the-field play has been declining, but he shows great leadership just outside.
Yeah, no.
All the intangibles. He has those at least. No, like, it is. He's got a contract.
Yeah.
He's got that, but.
They're going to pay that man his money and tell him to go away.
And so, where's that going to be at though?
That's going to be the drama.
It's not
going to
be. It's not going to be in Arizona.
It won't be Arizona. It won't be Cleveland. It won't be the Jets. I mean, we're starting to get down to the Bears. Do the Bears want this mess?
Is it? Yeah. Okay. So this is just off the top of my head. When I start looking at this, I go
Washington.
And maybe not. Yeah, Commanders was where I jumped because it's got to be a quarterback needy team where they're not. Either not fighting for a spot or not paying a quarterback
yeah.
a lot of money.
Yeah,
where like the recipe goes. Does it?
And there's also the other side of that. There's some of those teams that are like, no, we're going to ride with our rookie guy and see how things go. I've got a good enough team mm-hmm. around him that I'm all right with it. I'm not taking on your problem.
Mm-hmm. I mean, does it work out with the Saints and Derek Carr? Are all of a sudden that they're...
I'm kind of pulling for him. Well, I don't know why. Maybe because of his brother.
Derek Carr neutral.
Right, but I think I'm pulling him for him because of his brother mm-hmm. and how the Houston Texans destroyed that man.
I think the... Because I was always a... I don't like Derek Carr because of the franchise he plays for. Always liked his approach to the game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, solid, but the defense for now Las Vegas... and his time when they were still in Oakland did not help him at all. And then the end of the season last year and the knowing you're not going to start and all of a sudden, they're not starting me, so I'm not going to show up to these games.
Well, that was kinda whack. Wasn't that he wasn't going to start. They weren't going to play him.
Still. I mean.
Is it how I want my leader to show up? But they had already said that he was done.
No, it didn't.
Listen, I'm getting a check no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing for me to do at work. I'm going to stay home, too.
It didn't entirely just sour me on him, but it certainly went... I mean, dampened it a little bit, not going to lie.
I would have liked him to be a more active participant, but I also understood where he was coming from.
Yeah. Well, and then him coming out in the offseason like, oh, they made my wife cry because they said that I wasn't starting. Like, okay.
Man, you got to watch the wives, man.
I mean...
Texas Tech lost a basketball coach because of a wife once.
It's a business, dude. Why are you bringing that? It's a business that's a game. Like, why are you bringing in, oh, you made my wife cry. You've affected my family. You're making millions of dollars, dude, playing a game. Ben?
Are they playing to win the game?
To win the game.
Yeah, you're right, Clint. I think it's a mess down there in the desert. Kyler Murray continues to regress. Jonathan Gannon is not ready to be a head coach. He made questionable calls in Philadelphia both years there. And with the departure of Isaiah Simmons, I feel like their defense is going to be the worst in the NFL. So I would have to agree with you that it's a woeful season for the Cardinals.
And that's where, like, it's – again, it's by design. They are doing this intentionally. And you can – like, the funny sign to me of that they are absolutely doing this – is getting rid of Colt McCoy because he's the one guy that could have at least held it together and resembled a starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Because it hasn't even been like, oh, yeah, we're comfortable with doing this because Clayton Tune has played out of his mind
in
the
offseason. That's not what
this is. It's been a noted mess where you had to go get another noted mess in Dobbs, who's now somewhat a journeyman. And no time to get him prepared. Like, it's sports do this now, right? It's in your face from league to league. But the Cardinals, just funny that they're not hiding it. Like, show me player to build off, you know, some of this young talent and show what Cardinals football is about.
The only place that you've got to hide it is the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to pretend like you care in the NBA. Otherwise, you lose a draft pick.
Which is exactly like
even if it's only one game, that this is the one game I don't care about in an 82-game season. But because I didn't care about this game, that then all of a sudden.
And that's the league that almost perfected tanking, and that's why.
Oh, no. I mean, teams have been tanking in Major League Baseball for decades. Decades.
Well, that's what I think. The NBA perfected it to the extent that they had to be like, okay, we have to do something about this.
That's where it was your first
perfected five. Perfected's maybe the wrong phrase.
Used it to its peak. Because one player
abused
can turn a brand.
Abused it.
And that might be a better
abused
way.
Abused it. There you
where
go.
You'd have two or three teams in every point. In every sport that were doing it mm-hmm. when the NBA would be like half the conference.
Mm-hmm.
Including teams that would have made the playoffs if they just pretended to try. I really wanted to tell you were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad I said it before we went to break so that I got to say it. Because you're not. It's very sad for me.
I've rooted for some really bad teams. I've yet to be on one where they've been tanking. I don't know how I would feel about that as a fan. Like, would I buy into? Well,
aren't you a Royals fan?
Yeah, tanking where it hasn't worked out. Hold on.
It worked out for you. You got a World Series title out of it eventually.
It's going to be another 30 years, man.
I can only laugh because my team is just as bad.
It's going to be another 30 years.
Hey, mine gets forgotten about in their own city.
That's true. It's Bottom Line 100.7 The Score.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.